Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Fayetteville police officers remain on the scene of a deadly shooting. I just spoke with a relative who lost two family members. I'll tell you what he said just ahead.
He looks up, and right where he was standing, there's a bullet hole.
Breaking news, a nine-hour standoff at an apartment complex is over. Authorities in Butner took a man into custody about 2 hours ago. The WRAL Breaking News Tracker spoke to a witness who says this all started with a gunshot.
I'm tracking two crashes in the Triangle right now, causing some pretty big delays. I'll show you how to get around the backups.
And check out Lake Gaston right now. A little bit of blue sky trying to peek through. I'll show you who else could see some of this a bit later in the day.
Legalizing mobile sports betting in North Carolina. It'll go to a vote today. And this is a live look at the General Assembly. The changes lawmakers are making as the bill gets closer to becoming law. 8 o'clock on your Wednesday right now. We're so glad you're making us your choice for news. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. Starting off today like we did yesterday, a little cloudy. The rain is holding off for now. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner keeping an eye all over town, including Fayetteville. Pretty cloudy in the morning.
Yeah, gray skies here. We've had a few holes in the clouds, a little blue sky trying to peek through here in Fayetteville and some of our southern counties. But generally, we're cloudy. Our temperatures are on the mild side. They're 63 degrees right now. We have a northeast wind at 8 miles per hour. That northeast wind is going to keep our temperatures nice and cool, and it will also help to keep some clouds around today too. It's 59 in Roxboro, but 61 in South Hill, at 62 in Goldsboro, 64 in Southern Pines, and 67 now in Fayetteville. We take a look at our hour by hour forecast. We're going to climb to 70 at lunchtime, and we'll be in the mid to upper 70s this afternoon. We'll definitely see more clouds and sunshine across the area as a whole, but there are going to be some holes in the clouds, especially once we get to late afternoon and evening. We're going to walk through future cast and talk about when we'll have our next best chance of rain coming up. Brian,
taking a look at traffic here. We've been following breaking news in Raleigh with a crash on 440 westbound right around the Six Forks Road and Glenwood Avenue interchanges. Over the past few minutes or so, maybe 10 minutes, we've seen some of those delays easing up right around that crash site itself, especially between those two interchanges. So it's some indication that maybe they're starting to get this crash cleared. The last check, that right lane still was blocked out at 440 westbound between Six Forks and Glenwood. About a 17-minute backup showing up overall from 87 around toward Wade Avenue. But if you can pick up 440 westbound from Glenwood Avenue, you'll be on the other side of those significant delays. Also watching a crash right now on the west side of downtown Durham. Durham police say that they have closed Gregson Street between Peabody Street and Birch Avenue. It's right there around the railroad bridge, and they're blocking traffic there till they can get that crash cleared. Consider using Buchanan Boulevard as a good alternate route coming in from the north side of Durham. Elsewhere around Durham and Chapel Hill, major routes are looking good. Around Wake County, we're just getting reports of a crash with injuries in Holly Springs at Main Street at Ralph Stevens Road. We are seeing some delay showing up on the sensors there. And inside the Beltline, they're clearing a crash right now from the intersection of Wade Avenue at Faircloth Street. Seeing some pretty heavy outbound delays, westbound delays, leaving the Brooks Avenue and Dixie Trail area heading back toward Faircloth.
All right. Thank you, Brian. Following breaking news this morning, two men are dead and two others are injured after a shooting in Fayetteville. It happened just after 3:30 this morning. WRAL's Laura Levine is at the scene with what we've learned from investigators. Laura.
Michelle, I just spoke with a relative who has lost two family members from this shooting here on Rembrandt Drive behind me. You can see still a heavy police presence here. Now, this man tells me that it was his 18-year-old brother and 24-year-old cousin who was gunned down here early this morning around 3:30. He got the call very early this morning and came to the scene, and that's when he learned the very tragic news. Neighbors telling me they heard about 15 to 16 gunshots fired off here as well. We do know that there were four people total who were shot. Two people are in the hospital, one person with life-threatening injuries. Another person is expected to be okay. You can still see a lot of activity here to the left of me, a lot of focus here just past these bushes where officers are kind of still collecting evidence and working to piece together what actually happened here. And that's the big question. What led up to the shooting? That's what we're working to find out. I did speak with a neighbor who tells me they did see police apprehend someone, put someone into custody. So we have not been able to confirm that from Fayetteville police just yet. They told me that their cameras from their home caught a car driving past around 3 o'clock this morning and saw a man walking around in this area. And it was the same man, they tell me, that they saw police put into handcuffs. So we're going to work to get more information confirmed about what actually happened here and keep you updated. Laura Levine, WRL News, live in Fayetteville.
We also have breaking news as a man is finally in custody now after a nearly 9-hour standoff at a local apartment complex. People who live there started returning to Edgewood Bridge Apartments in Butner after 6 o'clock this morning. They were evacuated initially as law enforcement worked to reach that man, make contact with a guy who had barricaded himself inside the apartment. Eric Miller is there now in the WRL Breaking News Tracker. Eric, you've been there for many hours, especially at the critical time when they made that arrest.
Right, Jeff, a lot of relief in that moment and a lot of relief now as those first responders have finally cleared away after this tremendously long standoff. You take a look at some of the video from this scene earlier, you can see just how many resources were brought to bear here. Robots, as well as deputies from Granville and Franklin counties, the SBI and Butner police, all out here trying to get this guy into custody. We're told this started right around 8:30 yesterday evening. That's when that man allegedly fired a bullet through the wall of a neighboring apartment, very narrowly missing a man who was trying to give his 3-year-old daughter a bath at the time. Talking to family, you know, they say these were absolutely terrifying moments and way too close a call. Take a listen.
So he bends down to, you know, and put a towel around her, and he heard something go pow. When he heard pow, he reached and grabbed her. He grabbed the boys. They both, all of them went to the floor. He scooped them into the bedroom, and he looks up, and right where he was standing, there's a bullet hole.
Yeah, scary moments there. Now, the suspect did finally surrender himself right around 5 a.m. this morning. That man taken into custody without injuries. We had no injuries out here today. Still, for so many neighbors we talked to, they say it didn't have to get to this point. They say this man had caused problems for months, threatening people, cajoling, harassing. They just wonder why it took so long before something was finally done. In Butner, Eric Miller, WRAL News.
A push to allow you to bet on sports using your phone could be just a few steps away from becoming law right here in North Carolina. The full state Senate today will vote on a bill to legalize it. If it passes, the bill would have to go back to the House before reaching the governor's desk. That's because the Senate made some changes to the bill, including a measure that could delay its rollout until next June. It would also make in-person cash betting legal at certain sports venues.
Fewer than 5 days left now to raise the nation's debt limit and avoid a potential economic disaster. This is a live look at the U.S. Capitol building right now, where a deal to do just that will go to vote today after surviving a key hurdle late last night. The agreement passed the powerful House Rules Committee. It was a tight 7-6 vote. Some of the loudest conservative critics of the bill are members of that panel. The full House will debate the bill today before taking a vote. And Republican leaders believe they have enough support to pass it and send it to the Senate. The Treasury Department says it must be approved by June 5th to avoid defaulting on debts.
A search is growing this morning for the driver who led troopers on a high-speed chase before crashing. State troopers say someone stole this car in Person County. The driver led troopers on a chase at speeds over 100 miles an hour into Durham County last night. The driver eventually crashed the stolen car near Hillendale Road and Horton Street in Durham. The person was able to run away from the car and evade authorities. And a man who lives overseas now faces federal charges, including threatening to kill our U.S. senators. Investigators say 51-year-old Eric Welton repeatedly called the offices of Senators Tom Tillis and Richard Burr and made graphic death threats. Welton is a U.S. citizen who lives in Thailand. Investigators say he has threatened Marines who work there. FBI agents arrested Welton at the Atlanta airport. If convicted, he faces up to 10 years in prison. And we now know the name of the boy killed while riding his electric scooter in a neighborhood in Apex. Ayan Vershari was a fourth grader at Combs Elementary School. He died on Monday. Neighbors tell us he and other friends were playing on Woodall Crest Drive when a car hit him. The driver was not hurt and is not facing charges at this time. Police say their full investigation will take a couple weeks.
Former First Lady Rosalynn Carter is facing a new health challenge this morning. Her family revealed she's been diagnosed with dementia. They released a statement saying, quote, the 95-year-old continues to live happily at home with her husband, enjoying spring in Plains, Georgia, and visits with loved ones. Rosalynn's diagnosis comes just 3 months after former President Jimmy Carter entered hospice care at home. Now, the White House says President Joe Biden has been in touch with the couple recently and wishes them well.
Time now, 8:10. The push to legalize medical marijuana continues here in North Carolina. Coming up, we'll hear from a lawmaker who credits it with helping him survive chemotherapy.
Plus, a member of the Manson family could be soon a free woman. What's changed that's now made her eligible for parole?
7-day forecast, looking very pleasant for the next few days. We do heat up a bit Saturday, and that's when a front could bring us a round of some isolated storms. I'll go over the timeline coming up.
Welcome back. 8:13 on your Wednesday morning. You are looking live at Fayetteville, a cloudy Fayetteville this morning. You're watching WREL News, available on YouTube TV and the WREL app on your TV or streaming device. A lot of us waking up to those clouds this morning. Elizabeth Gardner standing by. I think it says it all behind you. Unsettled weather continues. That seems to be a pattern lately.
You know, it rolled right in here just in time for the holiday weekend, and it does not want to leave. So we do still have that unsettled pattern with us. We're looking at a very slim chance of rain this afternoon, but the clouds are going to be with us on and off through the rest of the day today. Our next big event is a cold front that comes through on Saturday. That will bring us our next best chance of rain and a few isolated thunderstorms. It looks like it's going to be fairly late in the day, so not going to be a washout Saturday. And Sunday looks nice and dry. Watching the tropics, you know, tomorrow is the first day of the hurricane season, and there's a low that may develop in the Gulf of Mexico. It does not look like it's going to cause any real problems, but we'll take a look. We're all dry on the radar right now. We had some drizzle earlier. You can see the streets still wet in Chapel Hill, but it looks like the drizzle has all ended. We're looking at cloudy skies in Fayetteville, of course. We just saw that's a look at our Fayetteville newsroom. Goldsboro's cloudy, so is Apex. Apex starting to dry out a little bit. Salem Street was wet with some drizzle earlier, but it's improving a bit. This is a look at the big picture. This is the low that's been hanging around us for days now, sitting offshore at this point, but feeding in air from the northeast. That's what's bringing some moisture, some cool temperatures, and some cloud cover, certainly. Here's this morning, and we'll roll through, and you can see as we get closer to lunchtime, look at that, breaking out of the clouds nicely. One or two little green spots show up, so there's the potential for a very quick, tiny little shower that'll roll through. We're giving it about a 10% chance at this point. On Thursday, same story. We're going to see some cloud cover to start with. We may see an isolated shower through the afternoon, but this is not going to be much rain for us. On Friday, again, looking at the same sort of idea, you can see a better chance of maybe a shower down to the south on Friday at 6 p.m. And then Saturday, lunchtime, all looking good. Maybe some rain along the coast, but we're nice and dry. 6 p.m., we're pretty dry. And then we see that front dropping in, maybe with a quick shower or thunderstorm. But the rainfall potential, even with that front on Saturday, is looking pretty minimal. As a matter of fact, take a look at our forecast rainfall between now and Sunday. A lot of our viewing area is just dry, 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 maybe a trace. And then you get farther to the south, say from Fayetteville over toward Clinton and southward, maybe a tenth of an inch. So we're really not looking at much rain at all out of this. Here's where our system could start to develop. The Hurricane Prediction Center, the National Hurricane Center, has given it a 10 to 20% chance of developing in the next several days. It's likely to move across the Florida Peninsula and redevelop here off the coast of the southeast. And it looks like it wants to push up toward North Carolina. But once we get into early next week, we get a big push of air coming out of the north. That northerly flow is going to push it away from the southeast and out into the Atlantic. At least that's the way it looks right now. Stay tuned. The warmest days of the week will be Saturday and again Tuesday. And both of those days, we could see an isolated thunderstorm. Other than that, we're looking pretty dry, Brian.
All right, let's take a look at traffic here at 8:16. Some improvement out on the Beltline. That earlier crash on 440 westbound between Six Forks Road and Glenwood Avenue appears to have cleared. Still seeing some lingering delays between New Bern Avenue heading out toward Capitol Boulevard. Latest update from our sensors out there indicating a 5-minute backup overall. So looking a lot better at this point. We still have a few other crashes in Raleigh. We'll show you some of those in just a moment. Want to talk about this other road closure in Durham. This is on the west side of downtown Durham. Gregson Street blocked between Peabody Street and Birch Avenue as they work to clear a crash from right around the railroad tracks, that bridge there at the Pettigrew Street area. Just allow some extra time through there. Consider using Buchanan Boulevard as a good alternate. Taking a look at a couple of crashes I'm watching in Raleigh right now, a crash with injuries at least partially blocking that intersection at Brentwood Road at Raleigh Boulevard. Seeing some pretty heavy delays on that northbound side of Brentwood heading away from the Beltline out toward Raleigh Boulevard. Also, a crash on the south side of Raleigh at Tryon Road at Avant Ferry Road with some westbound delays building on Tryon right now. And in Holly Springs, we have a crash at Main Street at Ralph Stevens Road in the clearing stages.
A Durham man who has spent 15 years in prison for shooting a police officer is trying to get his conviction overturned. His lawyers say police arrested the wrong guy. WRL was in court yesterday for the hearing. Kevin Johnson was convicted for the 2007 crime, yet has always maintained his innocence. The North Carolina Center on Actual Innocence took on the case and has now filed a motion that would dismiss the charges. They say a key witness has recanted his testimony and now admits Johnson wasn't there.
The law enforcement failed him. I think the officers were cutting deals and they ignored leads that were much more reliable. They were trying to that tunnel vision and bias, which we see in a lot, especially in an officer shooting.
The hearing resumes tomorrow morning. The decision on whether to dismiss the charges is ultimately up to the judge. If Johnson's charges are upheld, he's scheduled to get out of prison in 2033.
Police in Florida are ramping up their search for three people linked to a Memorial Day shooting on a busy beach boardwalk. This is the boardwalk here. Two other suspected gunmen are in custody. Nine people were hurt in this, including four children. Newly released 911 calls are giving us more insight into the moments just after the shots started.
The shooting, I think somebody got hit.
You just heard the gunshot?
Yes, we see the guy. Two people got hit right now. Two people got hit. A lady and another lady got hit.
Six of the nine people who were shot are reported to be in stable condition at the hospital. The youngest victim was just 1 year old.
A North Carolina senator is sharing his experience with medical marijuana as the push to legalize it in the state moves forward. Senator Bill Rabin of Brunswick County spoke to the House Health Committee yesterday. He survived advanced colon cancer years ago. He said his oncologist told him if he wanted to live through the chemotherapy, he needed marijuana to fight the nausea.
It's the only reason I'm alive today. And there's no science behind it, but I can tell you, I know. I know. And there are tens of thousands of people in this state that could benefit just as I did.
Opponents say there needs to be science behind it, not just stories. The Senate has already passed the bill to allow medical marijuana for some debilitating diseases like cancer, ALS, Parkinson's, multiple sclerosis, and PTSD. The House committee did not vote on it yesterday.
New data shows nearly a quarter of Americans have non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. That means excess fat is building up in the liver. It can lead to serious damage, but it is reversible. The disease is more common in people who are obese and in people with medical problems, including high blood pressure, high blood sugar levels, or high triglycerides. The disease tends to run in families, and Hispanic Americans are disproportionately affected. Experts say people with two or more risk factors should get screened.
And happening now in the WREL Live Center, South Korea this morning reporting that it has recovered the potential wreckage from a North Korean spy satellite that failed to launch into space. This is brand new video into a newsroom in the last half hour from the South Korean Ministry of National Defense. The failed launch sent the booster and payload plunging into the sea. Now, the flight was North Korea's sixth satellite launch attempt and the first since 2016. It was supposed to put North Korea's first spy satellite into orbit. No word yet from North Korea on this developing story. Of course, any new information about it, we'll share it with you here in the WRA Live Center.
Thanks, Ken. A Chinese fighter jet aggressively intercepted a U.S. spy plane. This was all caught on camera. You want to take a look at this? This is from the perspective on board that reconnaissance aircraft. And watch, you can see the Chinese jet flying nearby. Officials say the two planes were in international airspace Friday over the South China Sea. But then the Chinese jet cuts in front of the nose of the American aircraft. And watch it with the turbulence. Shake that cockpit right there. China claims jurisdiction over much of that sea, but international law considers it open airspace.
Convicted murderer and former member of the Manson family, Leslie Van Houten, could be a step closer to parole. A California appeals court reversed a 2022 decision from Governor Gavin Newsom denying her release. Van Houten is currently serving concurrent life sentences for her role in the murders of Lino and Rosemary LaBianca back in 1971 at the direction of Charles Manson. If she were to be paroled, it wouldn't be anytime soon. Her lawyer is expecting a lengthy legal battle ahead.
Archaeologists have found three skeletons in Pompeii. They were found in a structure that appears to be a laundry house and bakery. Tubs for washing and dyeing clothes and ovens were also found. Pompeii was buried under ash after Mount Vesuvius erupted 2,000 years ago. A Knightdale homeowner is urging everyone to be careful after finding two venomous snakes in her yard. Coming up at 7:30, what you should do if you end up in a similar situation this summer. Make that 8:30.
And a standoff between police and a man barricaded in an apartment ends with an arrest. Eric Miller has been on that scene in the WRL Breaking News Tracker all morning. He'll bring us up to speed. That's next.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good Wednesday morning. Time now is 8:26. I'm Michelle McConaughey. Starting off a little cloudy for your Wednesday morning, meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner tracking if we can see any rain later today, Elizabeth.
You know, our chance for rain today is really minimal. There could be an isolated shower that pops up, but most of us are not going to see rain today. We did have some drizzle this morning. It's still a little damp here in Chapel Hill, but for the most part, the drizzle is over at this point. We have clouds lingering, but we should see a little sunshine breaking out mid to late afternoon in a few places. 61 in Lewisburg, 68 Fayetteville, 62 degrees in South Hill. So it's a nice mild start this morning. It's definitely a little muggy with all the moisture that lingers. Our temperatures this afternoon climb into the mid to upper 70s. Evening dog walks will be in the mid 70s. Brian?
I have some good news here as we take a look at our sensors on the roads on 440 westbound. Those earlier delays from a crash right around Glenwood Avenue have started to ease up considerably. Just a little bit of a lingering backup as you head between the New Bern Avenue and Wake Forest Road interchanges. Only about a 3-minute slowdown overall. Also in downtown Durham, just got word from Durham Police. They have reopened Gregson Street between Peabody and Birch as they work to clear a crash from that area. Traffic flowing a lot more freely through there. Around the rest of Wake County, our major routes are in fairly good shape. Watch for a crash at the intersection of Brentwood Road at Raleigh Boulevard.
All right. Thank you, Brian. A 9-hour standoff between law enforcement and a man barricaded inside an apartment is over. A man was brought into custody around 5 o'clock this morning at the Edgewood Bridge Apartments in Butner. Officers say the man shot into a next door apartment while a family was inside, prompting that standoff. Nobody was injured. And the state Senate is expected to vote today and tomorrow on the current version of a sports betting bill. It would allow you to bet on college and professional sports on your phone or other electronic devices. We'll have more news, weather, and traffic ahead on Fox 50.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Four people were shot here in Fayetteville. Two died in an early morning shooting. I am live with the latest on this investigation and hearing from relatives of the victims.
It's a great start out there this morning, but our temperatures are feeling mild. I'll show you who's more likely to see a bit of sunshine later this afternoon.
And legalizing mobile sports betting in North Carolina will go to a vote today. We'll have a live look at the General Assembly for you this morning as changes lawmakers are making as the bill gets closer to becoming law. A lot of people wondering about that story, excited about that. So we'll have more on that for you coming up. Thanks for staying with us on your Wednesday. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. Yeah, we can't give odds on whether or not that'll happen. We just don't know. But it's a pretty good bet that at some point we will see sunshine out there.
Yes.
And If not today, sometime soon, Elizabeth. Yeah. Please, we're done with these clouds.
Exactly. We are done with this weather pattern, that is for sure. But here it is anyway. It doesn't care what we think about it. It is cloudy right now, so take a live look at Lewisburg. Lewisburg didn't really see much rain this morning or any of that real drizzle, so it's nice and quiet there, nice and dry. Temperatures are in the mid-60s. We still have a northeasterly flow, and that's keeping our temperatures cool. You know, really, the trade-off is we've avoided any 90-degree days this year. I don't know that that's much of a trade-off when you have such a cold and wet Memorial Day weekend, but we take a look at our temperatures heading out 64 in Southern Pines, a warmer 68 in Fayetteville, still 59 in Roxboro, 62 Goldsboro, 63 in Rocky Mount and Wilson. Hour by hour, we climb to 70 at lunchtime. We'll see highs in the mid to upper 70s this afternoon. We'll see more clouds and sun today, but especially if you're in our western or southern counties, you may start to see that sun breaking out mid to late afternoon, and there's just a tiny chance of a shower later on today. If you're going to be out and about this evening, we don't drop into the 60s until around 8 p.m.
All right, thanks, Elizabeth. Following some breaking news this morning, two men are dead and two others are injured after a shooting in Fayetteville. It happened just before 3 o'clock this morning. WRL's Laura Levine is at the scene with what we've learned from investigators. Laura.
And it has been a very heartbreaking scene here, being here talking to a family member who has lost two family members. Here behind me, you can take a look at Rembrandt Drive right now, where officers continue their investigation. A lot of the focus has been here behind these bushes, where we've kind of seen officers moving in and out of this area, investigators kind of collecting evidence around this home and structure behind this tree here. I spoke with a man who tells me that he learned early this morning it was his 18-year-old brother and 24-year-old cousin who died in this shooting. His 18-year-old brother was set to graduate from Cape Fear High School this June. He had dreams of joining the military. His 24-year-old cousin had a one-year-old daughter. When he got the phone call, he was just heartbroken, devastated, as you can imagine. Now, we know a total of four people were shot here around 3 o'clock this morning. Two other individuals remain in the hospital. One person has life-threatening injuries. I want you to take a listen to what Eldoris Elliott had to say when learning the news of what happened.
Well, I woke up this morning getting ready to go to work, and my cousin called me to inform me that my cousin and my brother has passed away.
Your cousin and your brother?
Yes, my cousin and my brother.
Oh, I'm so sorry. What was going through your mind?
I don't know, because I had just lost a brother of a heart attack on May 8th. And so when I heard the news, I broke down. And because I couldn't, I don't know how much more I can take.
Yeah, he walked up to us just so emotional, in tears, saying that he really wanted to say something very important and send a message to the community saying that this has got to stop. Also asking for justice for his brother and cousin. Now, right now, it is unclear if police have a suspect in custody at this time. A neighbor told me he heard about 15, 16 gunshots early this morning and that he did see police take someone in. So we are pressing for more answers as this remains an ongoing investigation. Laura Levine, WRL News, live in Fayetteville.
We also have breaking news as a man is in custody after a nearly nine-hour standoff at a local apartment complex. Neighbors started returning to the Edgewood Bridge apartment in Butner around 6 a.m. They were evacuated as law enforcement worked to reach the man who had barricaded himself inside. Butner police say it all started last night when a man shot a bullet through a neighbor's wall. Family members told us that shot narrowly missed a man on the other side who was giving his three-year-old child a bath.
So he bends down to, and put a towel around her, and he heard something go, pow. When he heard pow, he reached and grabbed her. He grabbed the boys. They both, all of them went to the floor. He scooped them into the bedroom, and he looks up, and right where he was standing, there's a bullet hole.
That standoff finally ended just before 5 a.m. The suspect gave himself up to police and now faces a list of charges. The people who lived there tell us the man had threatened and harassed them many times before. A push to allow you to bet on sports using your phone could be just a few steps away from becoming law in North Carolina. The full state Senate will vote today on a bill to legalize it. If it passes, the bill would have to go back to the House before reaching the governor's desk. That's because the Senate made some changes to the bill, including a measure that could delay its rollout until next June. It would also make in-person cash betting legal at certain sports venues.
There is less than 5 days left to raise the nation's debt limit and avoid a potential economic disaster. This is a live look at the U.S. Capitol, where a deal to do just that will go to a vote today after surviving a key hurdle late last night. The agreement passed the powerful House Rules Committee by a tight 7-6 vote. Some of the loudest conservative critics of the bill are members of that panel. The full House will debate the bill today before taking it to a vote. Republican leaders believe they have enough support to pass it and send it to the Senate. The Treasury Department says it must be approved by June 5th to avoid defaulting on any debts.
A search is growing this morning for the driver who led troopers on a high-speed chase before crashing. State troopers say someone stole the car in Person County, and the driver led troopers on a chase at speeds over 100 miles an hour into Durham County last night. The driver eventually crashed the stolen car near Hillendale Road and Horton Street in Durham. That person was able to run away from the car and authorities.
We'll learn more today about possible changes to the way your child learns science in North Carolina public schools. The State Board of Education begins its monthly meeting at 9 o'clock this morning. Members will unveil proposed revisions to science standards. They will not be up for vote, only for discussion. Another big topic on the agenda today is changes to middle school and junior high school sports rules, including adding mercy rules and excluding Sundays from makeup game days. Well, it is now up to Governor Roy Cooper to decide if our state's largest health insurer should get a break from government oversight. A bill to ease regulations for Blue Cross Blue Shield of North Carolina is on his desk. It passed the General Assembly with bipartisan support. Blue Cross Blue Shield says the changes are needed for it to stay competitive. But opponents, including the state insurance commissioner, say it could lead to higher health care costs. The governor's office says he will review that bill.
8:38 right now. The 2023 hurricane season starts tomorrow. And coming up, we'll have a look at predictions and how many named storms we could see.
Plus, an urgent warning from top AI industry leaders. The reason they're saying artificial intelligence could lead to human extinction.
And here we have a live look outside in Apex this morning. Another wet start to our morning. Misty in some areas. Starting to dry out there down Salem Street in Apex. We'll tell you what conditions are on the way the rest of the day as meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner tells us what to expect.
Happening now in the WREL Live Center, Wall Street expected to open in the red when the opening bell sounds in about 45 minutes from now on this final day of May. Taking a look at Dow futures this morning, the big board, you can see Dow futures off more than 100 points. Similarly, the S&P, NASDAQ, all in negative territory. Here's the thing. Investors are keeping an eye on the debt ceiling debate. As we reported this morning, a vote is set to happen in the House later tonight. Investors also waiting for new information on manufacturing and job listings. Of course, we'll have the opening numbers in our next hour of news right here on Fox 50.
Thank you. Taking a look at Futurecast, we're going to start off, of course, with gray skies. We're seeing that all across the viewing area right now. We take it out to lunchtime. We might begin to see a few hints of breaks in the clouds, but it's not really likely to happen until maybe mid-afternoon that we see more widespread breaks in the clouds, some sunshine popping out. We might see an isolated shower with one or two little green blobs show up here or there during the late afternoon or into the evening, but generally we're going to stay dry for the afternoon. But again, more cloud cover than sunshine, certainly. This is a live look at Lewisburg. And you can see it's gray right now. The streets are dry. We had some drizzle around the Triangle area this morning. The drizzle is all over and everything's starting to dry out nicely. Our temperature mid-60s. It's been a mild night. It's a mild morning. Our dew point's up at 61, which is not terrible, but it's a little more sticky than what we've seen for parts of the spring. Our temperatures by lunchtime climb into the low 70s, and we'll see a high this afternoon, 77 in Raleigh, 76 in Durham, and 79 in Fayetteville. So feeling very pleasant for us this afternoon. The Durham Bulls are in town. They have a makeup game tonight, so it's a different time start. It starts at 5:30 because it's a makeup game. Temperature around 77 degrees. Some cloud cover. There may be a few holes in the clouds here and there, but it really looks like it's going to stay pretty dry for us today, tomorrow, and Friday, especially in the evenings. 6:35 on Thursday, 76 degrees, and Friday's game, 79. We are not looking at very hot conditions, and again, some cloud cover on and off, but our chances for rain the next 3 days are pretty minimal. 84 is our normal high temperature, so we're below that today and tomorrow. And then Friday, looking more normal at 84, and Saturday at 86 degrees. We've been very fortunate, of course, not to have any, in my book, not to have any 90-degree days yet. We tend to see our first average 90-degree day of the year on May 11th, and here we are about to jump right on into June without one. Yay! But our dew points have started to creep up. Dew points in the 60s feel a little more sticky than in the 50s, and we're going to see a cold front Saturday that comes through with a chance of a late day shower or thunderstorm, but behind it we see some cooler, drier air moving back in. And after that, we're really set up for another cool week next week. June 5th through the 9th, we have a good chance of below normal temperatures, so we may move it all the way out, you know, through the whole first week of June without any 90 degree temperatures. So we're definitely living on borrowed time. Our two best chances for rain this week will be Saturday and Tuesday. It's just a 30% chance each day, a few pop-up showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon and evening.
Also factoring in, as you know, Elizabeth, tomorrow, the official start of the 2023 hurricane season. And while many are hoping a calmer summer will come our way after last year's devastating storms, there are a couple of factors at play that are battling each other and will ultimately determine whether there's trouble coming in the months ahead. Lauren Blanchard has more.
Hurricane season is right around the corner, officially kicking off in the Atlantic on June 1st. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says they are predicting 12 to 17 named storms, with 5 to 9 becoming hurricanes and 1 to 4 that could become devastating storms.
That is definitely kind of a rare setup for this year, and that's why our probabilities are not 60 or 70%. They are a little bit to reflect that uncertainty.
Their predictions come with a disclaimer. There are two conditions making it harder for meteorologists to precisely predict whether it will be calmer than usual or dangerous.
So you have these kind of these two big factors at play, one trying to drive it to a very quiet season, the other trying to bring it to a very busy season.
First, there is this year's El Nino, which would normally calm the waters in the Atlantic. However, the waters are unusually warm, which makes for ripe conditions because warmer water means stronger hurricanes.
Normally, a much warmer than normal Atlantic leads to a well above normal Atlantic hurricane season.
The 2022 Atlantic season had 14 named storms, with two major hurricanes, Fiona and Ian, which caused billions of dollars in damage and killed dozens. Both of those names were retired. This year, up first, the list will start with Arlene and Brett. The 2023 season runs until the end of November.
As Lauren Blanchard reporting, and as with all severe weather, the safest and smartest thing to do is to pay attention to your local media, listen to those instructions and evacuation orders from officials as well. And as we head into hurricane season, be sure you have the WRL weather app so you can stay ahead of any weather-related concerns. It's free wherever you get your apps.
A South Carolina convenience store owner charged with the murder of a 14-year-old boy remains behind bars this morning. A judge did not set bond for Rick Chow during his first court appearance yesterday. Deputies say Chow chased and shot Cyrus Carmack Belton in the back outside his store in Columbia. Investigators say Chow accused the teen of stealing a bottle of water, but the sheriff says there's no evidence the child stole anything. Protesters have gathered outside the store since that shooting, demanding justice for Cyrus and his family.
Fort Bragg will officially become Fort Liberty Friday after months of preparations. We got a sneak peek at one of the Post's new central features, the Sunset Liberty March. It will mirror one that happens every day in Holland, where 48 Allied soldiers, including members of the 82nd Airborne Division, died fighting for that country's liberty. Beginning tomorrow night, the Sunset Liberty March will take place nightly, a half-mile walk on Liberty Trail, formerly Bragg Boulevard.
June tomorrow. It's filled with lots of family-friendly events. And WREL Lifestyle editor Kathy Hanrahan is here with us this morning with a few to check out this weekend. Kathy, the first Fruits Farm Memorial Balloon Festival that was supposed to happen last weekend, but it did get moved because of the rain. I've been to this. It is so much fun.
Hot air balloons are just so magical when you see them in person. I've flown in them. It's just fantastic. This festival is happening Saturday and Sunday in Lewisburg. There's going to be carnival rides, vendors, tethered balloon rides, balloon glows. Tickets are $5 for children ages 6 to 12. Everyone else is $15 admission, but it's really fantastic to see those balloons up close.
Oh my gosh, it is. And I even got to go up in one. That was cool too. It's awesome. And in Raleigh, there's a free family event at the North Carolina Museum of History.
This is really great too. On Saturday from noon to 4 p.m., enjoy Family Fun Fest at the museum. It's free admission, okay? Music, storytelling, hands-on activities. Just a great thing for young kids.
And it's free, so it's awesome. Also on Saturday, Box Yard and Research Triangle Park, they also have a family-friendly event happening.
I love Box Yard. They're celebrating their second birthday with a family-friendly event with inflatables and games. There's going to be a moonwalk, spin art, water tag. The event runs from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m.
And Saturday is going to be busy, Kathy. The Bimbe celebration's also happening.
This is a wonderful event. From 1 to 7 p.m., it's a very family-oriented at Rock Quarry Park in Durham. It's a celebration of African and African-American history, arts, traditions, and culture. There's going to be live music, arts and crafts, a family fun zone, and also admission is free.
Amazing. I love that. So many options for family fun all this weekend, Kathy. Thank you. And for a full list of events coming up this June, you can go to WREL.com and search the keyword WREL family. Thanks, Kathy.
A Wake County woman is warning people to watch their step outdoors after she spotted two copperheads in her backyard right near her two dogs. Jessica Price saw the snakes mating near her back porch in Knightdale. Wildlife experts say this is mating season for the species, which is the most common venomous snake in North Carolina. Experts say if you see snakes mating, don't try to remove them and don't try to kill them.
Because, you know, at that point, those snakes have got more on their mind than a dog or a person.
Yeah, so just avoid them. During mating season, snakes are drawn to warm areas that keep them from becoming prey for things like hawks and owls.
Our Teacher of the Week has spent 30 years helping students find their footing in life. And WREL's Brian Schrader introduces us to a Raleigh educator who keeps one of her heroes in mind every day in her classroom.
Shelley Godwin originally thought she wanted to be a juvenile probation officer.
I thought, no, I'd really like to get with kids before they get into the system and, you know, maybe do some preventative work.
Godwin has been teaching for 30 years at Mary Phillips High School in Raleigh. It's an alternative school that helps students who haven't been successful in traditional settings. She says the administrators and her fellow teachers at Mary Phillips are changing lives.
Here, I know I'm making a difference and I can see the difference I make in these children. And it's just, and then they give me much more than I give them, much more.
And check out that shirt behind her. I asked her, what would Dolly do?
Dolly would come in this classroom every single day and she would put a smile on her face and she would do everything she has to do to help these children. You know, I feel like I'm doing Dolly's work here.
Shelley Godwin is WRAL's Teacher of the Week. I'm Brian Schrader, WRAL News.
And Dolly would be proud. You can look at all of our honored teachers and nominate a teacher you'd like us to recognize. Go to WREL.com and enter Teacher of the Week in the search box.
Here's a chilling warning about the dangers of artificial intelligence. Industry leaders say it could lead to the extinction of the human race. Hundreds of top AI scientists, researchers, and others issued the warning in a one-sentence open letter yesterday. They say that rapidly advancing technology should be viewed as a priority alongside pandemics and nuclear war. They list those as systemic bias, misinformation, malicious use, cyber attacks, and weaponization.
The FDA is issuing a warning about some approved treatments for diabetes and weight loss. The agency says compounded versions of drugs, including Ozempic and Wegovy, are not reviewed for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Both drugs are on the FDA's drug shortages list, which sometimes leads to compounded or mixed versions being prepared. The FDA says it has received reports of side effects in people who use the compounded version.
California is using goats to reduce the risk of wildfires spreading. They help to clear weeds and shrubs along hillsides. And here they are near a neighborhood in Sacramento. California was ravaged by several years of fires that scorched millions of acres, destroyed thousands of homes, and killed dozens of people. The goats can graze in steep, rocky terrain there. It's hard to access, and it helps reduce the spread of flames, and the process is also eco-friendly. Seems to make sense. Yeah. Good climbers, yeah. Before we go to break, here are the winning lottery numbers, and we will get another check on weather and traffic straight ahead next.